May have a seat. I'd like to be the first to say good morning and welcome to New Work Fellowship. My name is Josh Hensley, and I am one of the pastors here. And so I get this morning to actually share in a little bit of the preaching time. So let this be your first clue that today is going to be a little bit different. This is actually the first time that I have preached since I've been here at New Work Fellowship for almost 2.5 years. It's an exciting morning for us and very fitting. We're talking about the wonder of worship. So you see, this preaching mic is strapped to the side of my head. It's a little uncomfortable. I'm not used to that. But really, the thing that I am most worried about this week, kind of lost sleep, been thinking about it, is what am I going to do with my hands? You know? I'm used to strumming a guitar, so I've decided this is probably the best thing for me to do. I'm going to pretend and strumming air guitar, okay? So while I'm talking, I hope this doesn't really get on your nerves. I'm just kidding. But know that I am pressing into my boundaries this morning. This is something that I'm not used to doing. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone to bring you a word this morning. So let's get started. In 1964, NBC, with Burl Ives, put out a stop animation made for TV movie called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? If you have children like me, this is a staple of your Christmas season. You know the story. Rudolph has got this bright, shiny red nose, and that's underneath him is his friend Hermie, the elf. Hermie does not want to make toys. He wants to be a dentist, right? Yeah. Back there we got one, he's there. But what Rudolph and Hermie do, they go off and they try to find their fame and fortune elsewhere. And where do they end up? On the island of misfit toys, right? They meet some characters there, Charlie in the box. You got the train with square wheels, the boat that sinks, the pistol, the water pistol that shoots jelly. You know, they're all distraught about who they are. But my favorite has got to be this guy. This is the cowboy that rides the ostrich. And in the song, he's crying about it. He's so sad. But the toys all on this island are flawed. They're rejected by what the norm would be. They're rejected and banished to the island of misfit toys because they seemingly don't fit in with this perceived perfect Christmas toy. But for many of us, as we come into worship, we might share some of those same feelings when it comes to worship. You come in and you might see a guy over here lifting his hands to the Lord in worship. You might catch a glimpse of somebody's tear running down their cheek, moved by the worship. And you definitely probably hear that guy a couple rows back from you with the amazing singing voice. And so what do you typically do in that moment? It's not the typical thing for us to join in, but instead it's for us to pull back. It's for us to shut down, put up little walls for us. But the wonder of worship is when we allow God to show us something. But when we put up those walls, we start asking our questions. Why am I not feeling what this guy's feeling? You know, I would hate for somebody to actually see me do that in worship. What would they think of me? And heaven forbid anybody hear my singing voice, right? Everybody with me? You've been there before. But Scripture reveals something completely different about worship, and specifically singing in worship. In Psalm 102, it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy." Did you know that in the Bible there are over 400 references to singing, with 50 of them being actual commands to sing? To kind of put that in perspective, if you were to take the 50 commands to sing and put them with the rest of the commands of the Bible, it would nearly be a 2-to-1 ratio. So, honor your father and mother, sing. Don't steal, sing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and sing. You know, there's something about singing, there's something about worship that God enjoys. The Bible actually tells us that God sings over us as his children. In Psalm 149:1, it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful." You know, when we step into a time of worship on Sundays, we get the opportunity to worship God along with a room full of other believers. So today, as we talk about the wonder of worship, I want to challenge you, invite you, encourage you to kind of step into out of your comfort zone, press up against those boundaries like me this morning, and do something in worship that maybe you've never done before. Now, I say that, and I'm not asking you to go crazy, all right? The band's not going to bring out snakes, you know. I'm not asking you to run up and down the aisles and dance and all that. But what I am asking you to do is to kind of present yourself before the Lord. Because worship is a wonder when we go beyond our self-awareness and we feel free to wholeheartedly worship the Almighty God, our Creator, with all that is within us. It's not just our words that we're singing, but it's our heart that God desires. So today, when I say do something that is a step beyond you in worship, for some of you, that might mean raise your hands. Now, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, gospel preaching. If the preacher wasn't screaming, the preaching was not happening, right? You been there? So in that same church, if I were to raise my hands, it would be a spectacle. People would be looking at me, wondering what's up with him. He's super, you know, super spiritual. But at Newark, if you've experienced worship here, you know you're in good company. There's something freeing about raising your hands in worship. For some of you to do something different might be as simple as the obvious, you sing, right? Right now, the sermon lights are up during worship. We bring them down, but you would not believe how much we can actually see up here, especially your mouth. Some of you, I'm not going to do it. My mouth is not moving. I have a funny story. When I was little, my father and mother and I, we would all be sitting in the pew, and we'd be singing our hearts out. Now, granted, my musical ability comes from my mother's side, so my father didn't really get blessed with that. But I remember as a child looking up at him while we were singing and realizing that he wasn't singing. He was just mouthing the words, you know, appalled. Because I'm a kid that sings all the time. I'm a kid that sings while he plays. I got in trouble for it at the dinner table. Don't sing. There's no singing at the dinner table. Makes me want to do like that Buddy the Elf. Yes, there is. But, you know, if I would call my dad out, he'd give me the elbow, kind of the dad face. Shh, shh, be quiet. But if you're a parent in here and you have kids, know that your kids observe the way that you worship. They begin to shape the way that they worship based on how you worship. It's very important to be mindful of that. And for others, as we talk about stepping into a different, stepping out of your comfort zone, maybe today you would decide to trust Jesus with all your heart. It'd be the first time that you would trust him. That could be something that you do different in worship. But to worship, we need to understand what it is. Before, you may have heard me say that worship is a rhythm. This morning, I want to look at it as it kind of like a dance. You know, there's two parties involved. They're moving together, led by one another. It's not a show. It's very participatory. You know, it is a rhythm of God with us and us with God. And it's two-sided. God had his part, and we have our part. That brings us to our first point in the sermon guide, if you would take that out. Worship is rhythm, is a dance with the divine. It's a lot like being a parent. You know, that's a two-sided adventure as well. I have three children. One is three, one is five, one is seven. And every morning when we get ready for school, it's kind of like a war zone. You're like, you're throwing clothes, you're like, brush your teeth, go to the bathroom, we got to get ready, we got to go, 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 go. And the other day, my five-year-old Benjamin, he comes to me and he has his tennis shoes. Now, these were new tennis shoes for him, the first tennis shoes that he would own that would have laces and not Velcro. So obviously, he's not to that point where he knows how to tie shoes, but I was honored. He came to me and he said, Daddy, will you tie my shoes? So we sit down on the floor. I sit down in front of him, and I like to make my kids laugh, so I'm very animated, trying to teach him through a little story. Everybody know the one about the rabbit? Goes around the tree, down the hole. Ta-da! Your shoes are tied. So I'm goofing it up. I'm showing him all these things, and he's captivated, laughing. And it was a moment that we got to kind of set aside from all the craziness of our morning. And he stood up to his feet, and before I could get up, he came in and gave me the most tremendous, hard hug that he could give me. And he looks at me, he says, "Daddy, I love you so much." And then the next words, "To infinity and beyond." Now, for me, for Benjamin, Benjamin is a Toy Story fanatic. You might have seen him running around. He's got Toy Story boots on half the time that light up. He is a fanatic. He knows exactly what to infinity and beyond means. So I was honored that he would actually say that to me. But worship is exactly like that story. Worship is when and how God stoops down that we may know and experience his love for us, that he may show us or reveal something to us. God's part is in the coming. In Psalms 22:3, it says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of God." In other words, God sits down in the midst of our praise. He comes to us. God's part is in the coming, and that's what he does. So what is our response if God is in the coming, God is in the revealing? Our part is to simply respond to what he has shown us, and that's what worship is. So here in this morning in the service, we're gonna worship again through music, through singing. And so I want to encourage you. I want you to be mindful as we think about it, and challenge you to do something that you've never done before: sing, raise your hands, kneel, pray, whatever it might be. I want you to feel free to do that as the band comes back up, and you stand to your feet. I want to ask you, are you willing to experience it? Are you willing to allow yourself freedom in the Lord to worship him and give him your heart in worship? He is great, so let's intentionally step into the wonder of worship. You give life.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you. Holy, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour.
Above, not only in the skies, but above in our lives, above the things that keep us from worshiping. Lord, worship is simple. As we respond to exactly what you're showing us in our lives, showing us your love, your mercy, and grace, let us always be mindful of not only the words that we're singing, but the presence that you have within a worship service. The presence that you have in this group of people here this morning. And may our hearts be something that glorify you in return. We love you, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. You may have a seat.
So as we've talked about worship, it really is this rhythm where we respond to the Lord. The next thing that I want you to see is that worship is all about our God, the one who comes to us. And so God reveals himself. He shows himself. So worship begins with God's personal revelation. That's the next blank on your outline there. That worship begins with God's own personal revelation. He is showing himself to us so that we will know him. So if you have your Bibles, open to Luke chapter 2, the passage that we're looking at today with the angel appearing to the shepherds. And let me just take a minute to introduce myself to any of you that are new here today. My name's Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really excited to share the message time with Josh today. And since Josh, you know, has challenged us to do something new and different in worship, and he's sharing the preaching time. My thing that's new and different, you'll be glad to know, is not that I'm going to sing a little bit later. That's not going to happen. My thing that's new and different is I'm sharing time with Josh. So I really stretch in the comfort zone there. But I want us to listen to that story again, Luke chapter 2, the story of the shepherds.
Let's start in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, when suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
So as we look at that story and this worship experience that the shepherds had, one of the things we need to ask ourselves is, who is this God that they worship? Who is it that has revealed himself in worship? And the first thing I want you to see about this God who has revealed himself in this story to us is this: he is the God who comes to us. He is the God who comes to us. You know, the story is so familiar. I mean, we've heard it so many times. We've heard it down through the ages. It is so easy for us to miss the wonder and the mystery of this story of the shepherds and the angels. Verse 8 says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them." We almost miss completely this idea that God himself sent a messenger to shepherds. I mean, really? This big announcement, this moment in all of time, is announced to shepherds of all people. I mean, if you're going to make an announcement of this magnitude, you would think that you'd want to take it to, like, kings, or, you know, at very least, priests, somebody that was religious, you know, or people that were wealthy or powerful. But the wonder of the story is that God made the announcement to shepherds, ordinary people. In fact, maybe even a little less than ordinary, a little bit like us. God came to people that literally were living on the fringe of society. They were the outcasts, or in the language of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, they were living on the island of misfits. That's who the shepherds were. And that's who God came to. And that's good news for you, and it's good news for me, because God comes to us just where we are, just as we are. I can remember the first time that I sensed, I think God's talking to me. The God of the universe, God Almighty, talking to me. I was a 9-year-old boy, the third out of four, you know, middle of the family. And I sensed God talking to me. And I came to recognize in that moment that it was Him drawing me to Himself. That was the moment when I prayed and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior as a 9-year-old boy. But the wonder of that moment is this reality that's been with me my entire life. What in the world is God Almighty doing interested in just a 9-year-old boy? Why was he talking to me? Why was he drawing me? Listen, it's the wonder of the God who comes to each one of us. That's the message of the shepherd. God came to them. God came to me. And perhaps today, that same God is coming to talk with you. He's the God who comes to us.
So the question is, who is this God who comes to us? The God who comes to us is the God who brings joy. Look at what happens in verse 10. Let's read that again. "The angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will,'" or noise, "'bring good news that will bring great joy to all people.'" You know, two things that I notice in that verse specifically. The first being, the angel came and the first thing he said was, "Don't be afraid." Have you noticed in the Christmas story specifically, that tends to happen a lot? "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, Joseph." But do you think that it's really the angel that they're afraid of? You know, I think the angel just simply represents or embodies the divine presence of a holy and awesome God, right? You with me there? And the second part that you see is the word joy. You know, God will bring joy to all people. That's a kind of a weird thing for me to think about, because in a world where we can't agree on anything, this Jesus that comes to earth is going to bring joy to all people. So a joyful God will bring joy to all people. And that's pretty much what we're commanded to do in Scripture, to give back to God. I read it before, but Psalms 102, it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness, come before him singing with joy." We come with joy because God gives joy. And listen, the joy of the Lord is not, it's not this kind of superficial, temporary, fleeting happiness that only is here for a moment. You know, that's what I feel like Christmas is. We build so much excitement or anticipation into it. You know, if you have kids, you wrap the presents, you put them under the tree, they ask, you know, is it Christmas time yet? Can I open it? And then what happens on Christmas morning, you know, all the joy that we experience when we open the presents is gone as soon as the wrapping paper goes in the trash. You know, a toy breaks or something, kind of like this video.
This is my new flutter by Sherry, and I'm going to show you how it works. First, you put it on here.
She's so
then
excited.
You press the rocket button. That's that. And then it'll fly up in just a second. See? And then...
No! Oh, no!
I feel like I've been there before. But you and I, you know, if we're honest, you and I need so much more than this moment of happiness. We need joy.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that video. But I think it's a great picture of exactly what Josh has described. The happiness of Christmas, it can vanish really quickly. So we need this lasting joy. So who is this God that we worship? He's a God who comes to us. He's a God who brings us joy. But maybe this is the more important thing that we all need to get. He is the God who saves. He's the God who saves. Again, that verse of the angels, it says this in verse 11. Their announcement included this: the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. Who is this God who comes? You need to understand that He is a saving God. And the truth is, all of us need saving. That's the message of Christmas, that all of us need saving. And God came for the very purpose to rescue and to save us, to heal us and to make us whole, to reach out to us and bring us to Himself. And listen, that's why God stooped down and came. He came so that we might be saved from our sin. And the way that you come to this God who is stooped down is through that relationship of talking with Him, of praying with Him. You confess your need of a Savior, and you accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. That's how that relationship actually begins. In fact, today, in case there is someone here today who's not yet taken that step, who's not yet reached out and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to just lead you through what that kind of prayer might feel like. So let me ask you to just bow your heads, close your eyes, and I'm going to talk you through what this prayer is like, and give you an opportunity in your own heart and in your own life to pray and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God's gift of salvation begins in realizing that we all need saving, that I need saving, that my sin has separated me from God. And so we begin that prayer just by praying something like this: God, I know I'm a sinner, and I repent. That means I turn away. I turn away from my sin, and I accept your Son as my Savior. But you need to understand, Jesus isn't just a Savior. If you listen to the message of the angels to the shepherds, it was, yes, he's the Savior, but then it said he's the Messiah. The Lord has been born. To say that Jesus is Lord is to acknowledge that I don't just need a Savior, I need a Lord. I need someone to rule over me. He's to be the boss over my life. And so that prayer that begins, God, I'm a sinner, and I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, it needs to take the next step, and that step is this. Jesus, I trust you, and I believe you're the only way to God. And beginning right now, I want you to rule in my life. You are Lord of my life. And the Bible tells us that when you believe in your heart and you confess with your lips, you will be saved. We all need saving. My prayer is that you would step into that relationship today. We're going to continue to sing in just a moment. But let me invite you not just to sing with your mouth. Sing with your whole life. Pay attention to the words of this song. It talks about devotion. It talks about giving yourself to the Lord. Let me encourage you that it would be more than just words of a song, but it would be your life that you give to the God who came to you to bring you joy, to save you.
Would you stand and join us?
A story bought by grace, love unrelenting called my name. Oh, what a mystery! Oh, what grace! I am changed. All my affection, all of my praise. All my devotion for all of my days. Pour out my worship, lift up your name. Jesus, you're all that I've needed and more. Your riches of mercy over me. have my yes, you have my all.
Seated. The reality of genuine worship is that it doesn't end here and it doesn't end in this room. Real worship has a life that goes beyond what happens in this room. For example, listen again to what happened with the shepherds. In verse 15, it says, when the angels had returned to heaven. In other words, worship service is over. Angels are gone. The shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. The third thing that I want you to get about worship today is this: worship is our response to the revealed God. Worship is our response to the revealed God. Now, there are lots of ways that we can respond. We can respond in singing. We can respond in lifting our voices. We can respond physically, you know, with our bodies and respond by expressing praise to the Lord. We respond by hearing the Word of God, and not just hearing the Word of God, but obeying the Word of God. We respond to the revealed God when we surrender our lives and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In fact, listen to this verse that Paul gives us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says this about worship. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. He says, give your bodies, give your life, give your all, give yourself to the Lord. This is how you worship. What he's teaching us, that a very important part of worship is giving. An important part of worship is giving. In fact, think about it this way. When you give a gift, when you give your gift on a Sunday, your gift to the Lord, your offering, is so much more than just the money that you're giving. You're giving a part of your life. You're giving the work that you do. You're giving the effort that you have given in the workplace. You're giving your talents. In fact, when you give a gift on Sunday, what you're doing is you're giving God your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever it is that you're working. You are bringing that gift of life and you are giving yourself to the Lord. Worship covers the whole of life. In fact, you may not have ever really thought of it this way before, but I would suggest to you that even something as mundane and administrative as a church budget is actually an expression of worship. Because what we are doing is collectively, we are bringing our gifts to the Lord. We're entrusting those gifts to our leadership. We're asking them to hear from the Lord, to set a course and a path for the year to come. And then collectively, we are stepping into where the Lord is taking us, and we are surrendering, we are worshiping by giving to the Lord our gifts, our lives, to worship Him. Now, at New Work Fellowship, we don't vote on budgets. We trust our leadership team, our elders and our pastors, to lead in the tangible way that they lead as they plan for the coming year and say, this is the direction we're going. This is the way we believe that the Lord is leading us. But we do recognize that all of us have a part in that, and that's why once a year during worship, because it is an expression of worship, we invite the church to affirm the budget. It's not a vote, it's an affirmation. And the way we do that is through prayer. So in a moment, I'm going to pray and I'm going to verbalize our prayer as a church. But listen, far more important than the words I pray out loud are the silent words that you pray as you, as a part of this covenant community of faith, where you acknowledge before God your own individual part of bringing your life to Him in worship and presenting it to Him as your gift of worship as we press in to the vision and the calling that He has for us as a church. So I'm going to pray, but let me encourage you. You pray as well as we affirm the plans for 2018 and step into the call that God has for us. So will you pray with me? Father, we come before You and acknowledge that You have come to us. You've drawn us to Yourself. And You invite us to join You in Your work. And so, God, we lay before You our plans for the coming year, but we acknowledge that our plans must be subject to Your plans. Direct our course. Direct our steps. Father, as a church, Your church, a covenant of believers, we recognize that our part in being committed to Your kingdom involves bringing our whole life to You. And it's true that part of the way that we worship You on each and every day is through the faithful giving of our tithes and offerings to You. We bring You our lives. And so today we affirm that all of the gifts that we will bring to You in the coming year are Yours, and they are for Your purpose. And may we be used of You to advance Your kingdom. We pray this together in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you know what the shepherds did next? They went out and they told the good news. And that brings us to this final thought. Worship is the rhythm of revelation and response, so that every man, woman, and child might know Jesus. Our ushers, we're going to give them just a moment. They're going to come in just a moment and receive our morning offering. But let me remind you, as they come, as they bring the baskets to you, we are bringing our lives, we are bringing our everyday to God, and we are worshiping Him with all that we are. So ushers, if you would go ahead and come, and as that basket passes in front of you, let me encourage you to place your gift to the Lord along with that completed Connect card so that we might be connected with you. And in just a moment, we're going to invite you to stand and sing with us one more time.